Hi, I'm Nora Cavani, and this is Healthy Gut, Healthy Kids, your trusted source on child gut health, brought to you by Alba Health, live on the UK Health Radio. Thousands of studies now link a child's gut health to common symptoms like colic, constipation, and eczema, as well as to long-term health risks like allergies, asthma, and obesity. In each episode, I speak with global experts and scientists to explore the latest research on children's nutrition, gut health, and well-being. Let's dive into the science. Did you know that the food you eat and your child eats may naturally contain probiotics, which are living microbes that can support gut health? But not all foods marketed as probiotic actually deliver the benefits they promise. Today, we're joined again by Dragana Skoković-Sunjić, a clinical pharmacist and probiotic expert who has dedicated her career to translating probiotic science into practical guidance for everyone. She's also the author of The Clinical Guide to Probiotics, a resource that is used worldwide by healthcare professionals. Our last conversation with Dragana on probiotics was one of our most popular episodes. Now she's back to help us explore how fermented foods can genuinely build your child's gut health and your own gut health, how to separate probiotic facts from marketing myths, and practical tips for choosing the right foods for yourself and for your family. Great to have you here, Dragana.
Thank you, Nora, for having me, and thank you for letting me speak about my favorite topic.
Fantastic. Let's get started right away. I would start from, what are fermented foods and is there a difference with probiotic foods?
So I would say those two terms that you just used are fairly often used interchangeably, which is not quite right. Probiotic itself, a term, is defined and the definition is globally accepted. A probiotic is a bacteria that is defined that has been proven to provide health benefit when given in adequate amount. So it's something that we know specifically what kind of bacteria is in what we consume, whether it's a supplement or food matrix carrying that bacteria. We know a specific strain of it, we know the dose, and we know what to expect from it. On the other hand, fermented foods are historically huge category that throughout the century we've used, and most of the fermented foods are foods that have been altered by microbes, whether it's bacteria or fungi or something different.
Could you give me some examples of fermented foods and foods with probiotics?
That is excellent. So fermented foods could be all different kinds of foods, could be different grains that are fermented by using bacteria. It could be a beer, could be a bread from grains, could be from vegetables, for example, could be sauerkraut, could be kimchi, could be the kind of things, you know, even soy fermentation gives us tofu and tempeh, etc. Probiotic foods would be a food that still contains a bacteria that has been proven to be beneficial, or sometimes even matrix, such as yogurt, for example, that has different bacteria added to it, and we know how much is in it when we consume it, and that would be a probiotic food. And there are not too many of them, and that particular term is fairly new.
So if I get it right, fermented foods could be like sauerkraut, tempeh, miso, kefir. So they contain live bacteria and they're fermented, but then probiotic foods have added strains that have a documented health effect. So it could be those yogurts that contain a certain strain of probiotics, something like that.
That is correct. And also to add to your confusion is when fermentation is taking place, for example, in a fermented bread, sourdough bread, there's a lot of activity of bacteria and yeast throughout the preparing of the dough for baking. But once we bake it, all bacteria is dead. It's already gone. So there's really no live bacteria in the bread once it's baked. But it's actually good food for us because it's more digestible. A yogurt, for example, if you make our own yogurt, there is a peak of presence of bacteria in that yogurt, and then they start dying off as yogurt sits longer. Sometimes foods we purchase in a store, they'll say contains live bacteria, and that means there are still some live bacteria in it that is continuing to ferment that particular food.
Are there still benefits in food that were fermented, but now they're being cooked? Or is it only when you have live bacteria that the food is actually good for your gut health?
There is really lots of research looking into that. And there are large population-based studies that have shown that if we have higher consumption of fermented foods, with or without live bacteria present, we do have better health outcomes. And I'm talking about general health outcomes, even to the point that we have better cancer prevention, better immunomodulation, even better ability to fight infection, etc. So it's fermented foods are great addition to our diet.
What are the mechanisms of fermented foods? Why are they good for health?
We are talking about general terms, but there are different fermented foods. You know, there are really one set of benefits of beer and other set of benefits of sauerkraut or yogurt. So it's it's kind of funny, but it's not funny. So sometimes we produce bacteria by fermentation produces alcohol, which is not always beneficial. So if the fermentation is producing short-chain fatty acids, are those specific parts of the protein that are beneficial, then we have those health benefits. The reason the short-chain fatty acids and their whole family of them have been really, I would say, explored more extensively in the last decade or so, and we know that our body cannot really produce them ourselves without bacteria. They cannot ingest them in a tablet form or, injection or something. Sometimes you get them in a fermented food. And those short-chain fatty acids have direct effect on our immune responses, they regulate our inflammatory responses. They minimize the risk of allergy and allergic reactions. They support liver health, kidney health and function, and metabolic health as well. So some of the short-chain fatty acids also have beneficial effect on the brain. So it's overall body that benefits from those byproducts of the fermentation of food substrate by bacteria.
You also mentioned that bacteria can make foods more digestible. How does that work?
So for example, when you think about people that have lactose intolerance and they cannot drink milk, they might be able to actually ingest yogurt because the lactose in milk, when it's fermented by bacteria, is broken down and, yogurt is produced. So those patients can actually ingest yogurt without having the same reaction as ingesting milk. So those are kind of things because fermentation often makes food more digestible as well.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the ukhealthradio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What is the difference between fermented foods and probiotic supplements in terms of number of strains and types of bacteria and number of bacteria? What's the comparison?
Probiotics as a supplement, it's almost taking a medication for something. So probiotics as a supplement, we do suggest to use them only when you need to use them to either treat symptoms or prevent symptoms, support other treatments for different issues. So not everybody needs to take a probiotic all the time. And again, with probiotics, we have very specific definition of what strain is in it and in what amount, and we know what to expect from it. With fermented foods, we often have less of the active bacteria in it. We quite often do not really know the full composition of bacteria in it. They also change quite often. Fermented foods will have more than one specific strain doing fermentation, and different steps of the process of fermentation, the ratio between strains might change. It's very difficult to compare one and the other. Both have amazing and important place in our choices to support good health. But again, fermented foods is definitely something we should think about ingesting daily in different formats and a variety to support our health, to support our gut bacteria anyway. And then in specific cases, when we need more stronger intervention, we need to think about a probiotic supplement itself.
Are there some fermented foods that are better than others?
I would say whatever person likes and enjoys eating. I don't think we need all be giving advice, everybody should be doing this and this and that. If you enjoy and like eating yogurt, that's great. It gives you nice protein, calcium, gives you easily fermented milk metabolites. And again, you might get some live bacteria. If you like sauerkraut as well, depends again, sauerkraut, usually if you purchase it from the fridge section in your grocery store, that means it still has live bacteria that is fermenting it. If it's shelf stable, usually bacteria is already gone. Kimchi, if you like kimchi, or even all different kinds of fermented beverages. If it's pasteurized, that means bacteria is disabled, completely stopped. So there's no live bacteria in it, but byproducts are present. So it really depends what each person likes. If we can aim to have variety of products in our diet, it would be great. But there's no one better than the other.
And is there a difference between fermented foods that you buy at the store and those that you make yourself? I've tried that myself, and I was wondering if there's any difference between the two.
I personally like yogurt, and I do understand that when I purchase yogurt in a grocery store, the process to make that yogurt is they take milk, they usually add a few strains that are known to ferment milk appropriately. And also know that those strains are beneficial for us. But most yogurt producers will actually expose yogurt to heat to slow down or stop fermentation, which will actually improve taste and also prolong the shelf life of that yogurt. So it's not bad. I mean, this means that most of us can actually ingest that yogurt. It's easily accessible, price is appropriate, and we do still get benefits. I also know that few yogurts that you purchase have another bacteria added to it and becomes a probiotic food. So if I need some intervention, if I am more serious about it, I might purchase those probiotic yogurts. Or I could also make my own yogurt. You can purchase different kinds of starter cultures, which usually contain those two strains, to ferment your own milk. And that way I know that I'll have plenty of live bacteria in my own yogurt because I'm going to keep it in the fridge appropriately once it's made. And again, quite often we don't have time. It doesn't turn great all the time. And it also, if you noticed, if you ever make yogurt yourself, changes the taste day after day because fermentation continues. So the process is ongoing and it's kind of, because it's live bacteria, it changes. And it's sometimes you observe it's never the same. Depends on what part of the process you actually store it in the fridge, etc. So those are kind of things that what you make at home and what you purchase at a store might not give you same amount of live bacteria, but it doesn't really mean that it's not good for you.
I used to make my own kombucha and also water kefir, and I can definitely confirm that it tastes different depending on how long you let the fermentation go. And it's very fun. Actually, I'm very motivated now to make my own yogurt. I've never tried. It's a good idea. Is there any difference between yogurt and kefir? What's the difference in terms of live bacteria?
So this is interesting. Kefir, again, there are certain parts of Caucasus mountains, actually, from the Eastern Europe, from Bulgaria up to the Russia, etc., where that population was actually started to make kefir. And that specific strain, Streptococcus, is one that ferments milk slightly differently than what we use to make yogurt. So when you buy kefir, you actually can taste slight difference, almost is effervescent, more bubbles, almost like a champagne of yogurts. That is a true kefir. So again, the difference between strains that we use to make regular yogurt and kefir is that Bulgaricus 1, the strain, is a bit more resilient to the exposure to heat, oxygen, etc. So you might get a little bit more live bacteria in kefir versus yogurt.
What about, is there any difference between the different types of yogurt? So Greek yogurt, Turkish yogurt, regular yogurt?
Not really. The Greek yogurt is usually with a higher, it's more condensed. It's a higher protein content. There's also Icelandic yogurt, which also has higher protein content. The Turkish yogurt is usually, again, used with a bit of a kefir cultures that gives it more kind of a liquidy texture. And I believe that in a Turkish yogurt, there is a salt added to it, which I'm not sure how that affects the bacteria in fermentation. So different cultures have different alterations to different fermented products. But again, as I said, studies are showing us, regardless of what part of the world you live in and what kinds of fermented foods you ingest, usually we observe fairly similar benefits, health benefits from high consumption of fermented foods.
What do you think about kombucha? It contains sugar for the fermentation and it produces alcohol. What are the benefits and are there any risks?
With the kombucha, it's a combination of bacteria, fungus, and some other phages. So again, depends on your starter culture. I'm not sure how to call it, mother of the kombucha. How much sugar you add, what kind of sugar you add, how long you let the fermentation go. It could be very beneficial. However, there have been quite a few reports of the issues with regular ingestion of homemade kombucha, that maybe there was a bit of a contamination, maybe there was longer fermentation, there were some reports of liver injury or liver issues. But it's so with kombucha, if you're making it at home, make sure that you have a good starter culture, that you understand the process and do not let it ferment too long.
What about sauerkraut? Some people say they cannot tolerate it so much. Some people say it contains histamine in high amounts. Do you know if there's any drawback of eating sauerkraut?
little bit of a gas, I guess, because of some of the fiber content. It also depends on amount of salt, because there's lots of salt added to through the process, but really not too many dangers or downsides of eating sauerkraut. Absolutely. Many cultures that have access to cabbage will actually make sauerkraut in different formats, and definitely lots of benefits from it.
Fantastic. I guess a normal rule of thumb is always to check the ingredients. I guess with kombucha, sometimes I've seen added flavors, added sugars, added ingredients. So it's more of a kombucha flavored drink rather than a real kombucha. So maybe that's it's good to check the ingredients of what's actually inside.
Absolutely. Another observation with the sauerkraut, which I have learned in the last couple of years, is that apparently historically, sauerkraut was made by using lactic cultures, which means almost like spoiled milk, which I don't think anybody ever does it now, except maybe in some villages across Europe that do not have access to amount of salt or storage or something. So that is a proper way or old-fashioned way of making sauerkraut. And that particular sauerkraut will have lots of live bacteria still in once it's consumed and does not have as much salt as the more modern way of making sauerkraut does. One of the professors at McMaster University in Hamilton in Canada has dedicated whole life to exploring all this and effect on gastrointestinal health has observed that once we stopped using that kind of lactic cultures to ferment sauerkraut to make that impact, we have observed more impact of H. pylori, that the bacteria that we have in our gut, in our stomach, that is now causing the ulcer in the stomach. So he is connecting this with the using less of the fermented foods, less of the fermented foods that he's using lactic cultures, and then slowly they have this less protection of the lactobacilli for the stomach, and then this bad bacteria takes over and causes the problem.
That's very interesting, and there's still so much that we need to learn about all of these different interactions. What about miso, tempeh? They're based on soybeans. Is there any drawback of those foods?
Exactly the same as with sauerkraut. Really not in the original processing of those. Look for any other ingredients that will kind of improve more, you know, taste more. And so even soy sauce is made by fermentation. So all of those that are original and made a proper way, absolutely no drawback.
Actually, miso is based on rice, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. Yes, so many people are fermenting all different kinds of things.
Another question that came to my mind is, when we have fermented foods with live bacteria, do these live bacteria survive up to the gut, and how does that work? Many people ask me that and say, well, if they go through the stomach, shouldn't they be killed by the acids in the stomach?
So this is another interesting thing. Some bacteria can survive stomach acid with no problems. Specifically, lots of lactobacilli actually is resilient to stomach acid. Some bifidobacteria as well. When we talk about bacteria in fermented food, that's a big question because, again, we do not know what bacteria is still present in that food. Secondly, when we talk about probiotic supplements or probiotic added to the food, those strains will survive stomach acid because one of the criteria for a bacteria to be labeled and sold and marketed as a probiotic is resistance to the stomach acid and bile that is produced by liver. So this is one of the, I have to say, interesting marketing spins that many people use to say, oh, this one is not coated or is not acid resistant or it's better than others. It is dependent on the strain.
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Maybe let's switch to now probiotic foods. So now we've covered fermented foods in general, but now, as you said, there are some foods that are supplemented with live bacteria that have documented health benefits. So there are a number of products on the market today, depending on the country, that have these probiotics added to them. What kind of foods are they? Are we talking about yogurts? Are we talking about yogurt drinks, kefirs? What are the types of products?
So some examples and some that we have researched most and have added to the clinical guides to probiotics are specific kinds of baby formula, infant formulas. Some of them with the strains added to support overall health, minimize risk of common infectious disease, actually modulate the immune responses. Other strains are designed and added to formula to minimize, for example, diarrhea or colic. And then there are also strains that are specific for kids that have cow milk allergy, which is or cow milk protein allergy. And those can be devastating. So this is, they have to have specific formulas. But then these formulas, some of them have a specific strain added that has shown better benefit for those kids and faster recovery from the symptoms. So this is one category of the probiotic foods. Then we have fermented milk products that have bacteria added to it. So those are like regular yogurts or kind of a liquid yogurt drinks that have shown benefit for different purposes. Depends on the strains. Some are better for diarrhea and IBS-related symptoms. Others are better for maybe mood or minimizing risk of common infections. So there are different kinds of benefits depending on a strain that has been added to that probiotic food.
And one thing I learned from you is that different strains have different roles for our health and they might help with different problems. So I think you made before the analogy that you won't use a hammer to fix everything, right? You use a different tool for different problems that you have. Would you say it's the same with probiotic foods? So different probiotic foods with different strains help for different problems?
I would agree, yes. And I always kind of almost look at those probiotic foods as a probiotic supplement in a way, even though when we ingest them, they're not tablet or capsule. They look and resemble food and they taste like food. But the amount of bacteria that is added to it will actually provide health benefit as if taking a probiotic supplement.
It's really fun to see that there's different products that have different benefits. What are the main benefits that probiotic foods have? What can they help with?
Again, probiotic foods, I'm not talking about fermented foods, probiotic foods just generally are gut-related, controlling the bowel movements. They, it's great either for constipation or for diarrhea. There are also specific probiotic foods, great, that will improve the mood and minimize the effect of stress. There are probiotic foods that will minimize risk of getting common infectious disease. And in kids, as I mentioned, depends on the formulas that you choose, which have other different strains added, you might expect different benefits. And those would be, they can be added to our diet if we like them and if we need them. Generally, comparing them to fermented foods, I believe, should be part of the regular diet globally, regardless of the age, regardless of gender, of our issues, because again, they do generally provide overall support for maintaining good health.
Fantastic. And what is the difference between taking a probiotic supplement and a probiotic food? Is it just a format, or are there any differences there?
It is depending on a strain. So for example, we have a strain, very popular, globally available in the format as a capsule, as a little pouch with a powder for kids, and also as added to yogurt. Regardless of what format you take, it will provide same benefit. However, we also learned in the past from studies that there was a yogurt available that had two strains added in combination to yogurt already made. And they've done great studies, and that particular combination was effective for people with diabetes to minimize, lower the blood sugar, fasting sugar, and also average sugar was lowered, so it was providing health benefit. For some reason, that yogurt was discontinued in North America, and then there was also studies done with using same amount of those two added strains in a capsule form. Repeated the study in diabetic populations and showed no benefit whatsoever. So it is strain dependent. We still are learning more. So it might not be exactly the same if you use same strain in different formats.
What are the problems probiotic foods can help with? So you mentioned now diabetes. You mentioned help when you're traveling. What are the other indications?
So with probiotic foods, as I mentioned, constipation, diarrhea, IBS symptoms, those are some of the that come to mind first. This is why, I know, when we started the guide to probiotic products called Clinical Guide in North America and Probiotic Guide in UK, this was the reason we wanted to enable clinicians and also help patients have a clear understanding what particular strain in what format, which with product name will have what kind of benefit we can expect from it. And because things change frequently, product's name changed, or we get new research, we update this list, the guide, every year. So by the end of the year, we are working hard on looking what's new and what we have learned in the past year, and then we update and have January 1st every year, we have a new edition of all guides that we have available, Canada, US, and UK.
And when it comes to probiotic foods and fermented foods, are they appropriate for kids? And why would they be important for kids?
They would be appropriate for kids. Again, depends on age, at whatever time they start ingesting solids, specifically foods with it will be easier to digest. You know, for example, yogurt, for example, would be great introduction to fermented food in a very early age. And there's really no much restriction. I would be maybe careful with the kombucha for kids because again of the unknown amount. But anything that is a bit easier, you know, even you know, soy fermented products, kimchi, if they like it, if it's not too spicy, different kinds of cheeses would be great option for kids. Introducing them to that early and kind of making them accept and use fermented foods in their regular diet getting them used to that would be a really great thing we can do for kids as for their future as well.
We always say that in those first years of life, whatever you eat, you learn to like over time. So would you say that maybe eating fermented foods early on can put them in a position of liking fermented foods later in life?
Absolutely, I agree.
And yeah, we also say often to be careful with kombucha and water kefir because they could contain a bit of alcohol. But other than that, I completely agree with you that in small amounts, of course, over time, it can really help and they can really be beneficial for kids as well. I also love what you said about baby formula. Not many people know that different products, different types of baby formula have different strains of probiotics. Sometimes they also have HMOs, human milk oligosaccharides. Can you explain a bit what those do?
So that is interesting as well. Most of the baby formulas are designed to resemble mother's milk in a way of providing nutrients. But again, they cannot resemble mother's milk entirely. So in recent years, we are observing that and learning more what is actually in a breast milk. And that's why there is more and more formulas having a probiotic strains added that are strains that have been actually isolated from breast milk. So it's not that something foreign we add to formula. It's really mimicking breast milk better in adding live and active cultures to it. So bifidobacteria, for example, bifidobacteria infantis specific strain. There are some lactobacilli added as well. Again, with different effects. But they also, we learned that breast milk contains fair proportion of non-digestible substrates. And then we realized those HMOs or human milk oligosaccharides are very important because they provide a food, not for the baby, but food for the bacteria in baby's gut. And they support appropriate formation of diverse gut microbiome early in life, which will support child health throughout life. So then we learn how to actually make them, how to isolate it from breast milk or how to make them in a lab and add them to the formula that will be actually resembling breast milk even more closely. So yes, HMOs are this whole family of HMOs we are now finding in baby formulas that actually are resembling breast milk better. I also like to say something that quite often when I talk about baby formulas, I've been labeled as promoting big pharma and I'm against natural. Breastfed is absolutely great if possible. Quite often for different reasons, mothers are not able to breastfeed babies or they cannot have sufficient milk supply. So most scientists say that a well-fed baby is best baby. So whatever you can provide the baby to feed it, it's at best. So do not feel guilty if you need to reach for formula to actually support the baby.
Absolutely. We really share that. Of course, breastfeeding is ideal, but in many situations, it's not possible for whatever reason. And we still believe that women and families deserve to have the information, correct information and factual information on what's in the different products and how that affects their kids' gut health. So it's really important to understand these ingredients. If I have to recap, would you say that eating fermented foods basically on a daily basis is very beneficial for any person's health, independent on their status of health and their age? And then the other takeaway for me was if you can make fermented foods yourself, they can contain more strains potentially. But if not, maybe buying some that have added strains that have probiotic effects for different indications can be an added help. Is there anything else you would like to add to that?
I would agree with you on all of those points. And again, if you are unable to make your own, that nothing wrong with purchasing commercial ones. Do not expect too much of live bacteria in it, but you will get benefits from those byproducts of fermentation as well. So definitely any way that we can get more fermented foods in our diet is excellent. If we can get more of the live culture containing ones, even better. So I would support that fully. And again, if you need a probiotic intervention and you know exactly what you're liking to needing to treat, consult a guide. And if you're unsure, speak with your healthcare professional.
So Dragana, you curate the number one guide on probiotics and probiotic foods. Doctors all over the world use it. Where can people find it?
So there are three versions of that guide that are specific for regions. There is one for Canada that was the first one we started 18 years ago, and it can be found on probioticchart.ca. US guide is available on usprobioticguide.com, and the UK guide, which we started this year, is probioticguide.uk. Funny names for the three resources that we have. Again, we are not really marketing savvy. We are scientists looking in data. That's why all confusing names. But we are supported by the Alliance for Education on Probiotics, which is a nonprofit association of different experts. And that one maybe is easiest way to access any of those guides. And it can be found at aeprobio.com. So it's like a short for Alliance for Education on Probiotics.com.
Fantastic. What about if people want to follow you? Where can they find you?
So I can be found on different social media platforms. And my handle is probioticdr. Dr, not being a doctor, is a Dragana. So it's a short of my name. So probioticdr is my handle on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky. So I can be found on any of those platforms. And I do post occasionally little tips on proper use of probiotics. I address some myths and misconceptions, and sometimes what I see or being promoted on social media that is untrue or potentially harmful, I might address on my social media as well.
There's so much confusion in this space, so your work is very needed, and you're one of the best educators in this space. So thank you so much for taking us through fermented foods and probiotic foods, and see you next time. I think we'll need to record more episodes with you.
Again, thank you, Nora, for all the works that you are doing and in educating and providing help to young families and kids. And again, supporting kids early in life, it will have such a long-lasting effect. And I do thank you for that. I appreciate all the work that you do. And again, thank you so much for letting me speak about my favorite topic.
I'm Nora Cavani, and thank you for joining me on Healthy Gut, Healthy Kids, live on UK Health Radio. This episode was brought to you by Alba Health. We analyze your child's gut health, provide personalized nutrition plans, and coaching for the best start in life. We are the first and only company with a large clinical study on child gut health, and our team counts over 1,600 scientific publications in this topic. We translate this complex science into simple, personalized actions for families. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.